I want to talk for a minute about not having enough. So what are things we might lack? What are things that we might not have enough of? Any ideas?
Common sense.
Common sense. Excellent. Excellent. What are some other things we might not have enough of?
Time.
Time. Yes.
Joy.
Joy. Excellent. Time, I see that. And understanding. Good. Yes. Peace. Yeah.
Respect.
Respect. Yeah.
Long-suffering.
Love. What was that?
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering. Yeah. Turns out we're short of a lot of stuff. Yeah, wisdom. I see that. Yeah.
Love.
Love. Yeah. Significant things that we sense. We need more of these things. An active sense that, wait a minute, I don't have all that I need. And this is true even for people who have the Spirit of the living God living inside them. And sometimes I think, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't it be the case that if you have the Spirit of the living God living in you, these shouldn't be an issue? And yet my own experience is it continues to be an issue. And we just heard these famous words from Psalm 23. I was going to start with the King James Version, which some of us grew up with. This is a dominant way to think about what the Bible says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And a translation like this can be so puzzling that says, do I not want him? But clearly the idea that the New International Version that we read from this morning, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And actually, another version of the New International Version that I find really helpful is the New International Reader's Version. It just has a little bit lower reading level, which can be really helpful. And I like what they do to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I need. And so he's the source of what I need. And yet, it seems like I don't have enough. It seems like I don't have enough of many things. Years ago, I was connected with a research project at a school I was out in California. And they were teaching kids how the laws of motion work. And so you can help me with this. Things in motion tend to stay in motion, right? This is the right answer. Things in motion tend to stay in motion. And so they were interviewing the students to see how well they taught them. And so they did this. They said, finish this sentence. Things in motion, and one of the students they interviewed said, things in motion tend to stay in motion in the classroom. But on the playground, they slow down and stop. Right? And what wisdom, right? What understanding? This caught my attention because of this. Things during the week can be very different from Sunday morning. Right? On Sunday morning, God is sufficient for everything. But very often during the rest of the week, he doesn't feel quite as sufficient. That I find the times when, and I don't have the wisdom that I need. I don't have the patience I need. I don't have the strength I need. And Sunday morning, it's like, oh, God is the God over time. And then the rest of the week, it's like there's not enough time for what has to be done. And so I often want to say, the Lord may be my shepherd, but I'm still struggling. He may be the one who supplies all my needs. And yet, at the moment, my needs are pretty apparent to me, and it seems like he is not meeting them. And I think this is a really important expression to take seriously. And I think the psalmist leads us in doing this. And so I do want to pray that that we come to our God and admit we lack many things. There are lots of things that he may have a lot of it, but boy, we sure feel the lack of it. And so we come to our God and present our requests and wait expectantly. So I'd like to do that together now as we look to him. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that we can gather together. We are thankful for your word and this wonderful poem, this wonderful psalm that says you are our shepherd. And there's a way in which we believe that we lack nothing. And yet, Father, we are a people who lack a lot. We often lack the strength that we need. We lack joy. We lack love. We lack peace. We lack time. At times, we lack money. We lack connections. So, Father, we come today as people who often during the week and even on Sunday morning, we know we lack a lot of things and we need help. And so we come to you today. We lay before you our requests to help us and to give us what we need. And Father, we are waiting expectantly today that you will do that work. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our good shepherd. And so we ask you to shepherd us even this time, for your glory and for our joy. Amen. The title today, Pursued by Goodness and Love, and we'll talk about these drawings in a few minutes. I encourage you to have handouts if those are helpful to you. The text in front of you, whether on paper or digitally. I'm just going to walk through these verses together. So Psalm 23, the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Let's just stop there for a second. The psalmist David says, God is my shepherd. Because of that, I lack nothing. And then he highlights these things that are provided to him. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, the waters that bring quiet, that bring rest, and they're restful waters. He refreshes my soul. He brings life back to my soul that so often is tired. He breathes the air into us that makes us alive. And he says, he guides me along the right paths. I love the image of sheep that's used here, even though it's not something I have much experience with, but the ideas are pretty clear. And sheep have both lack and plenty. So, tell you a word about first century sheep. They didn't have storehouses full of food. They didn't have a bank account to buy the food when they needed it, right? These sheep didn't have pastures with lots of grass. There were times when there was plenty of grass, but where David was a shepherd, very often you would look across the hills and not see any grass at all. You would have to be a skilled shepherd to find grass. And these sheep didn't have the ability to find grass on their own. And I'm told that goats are pretty good at working things out. Goats will find stuff to eat. They find a way. Sheep don't. And so first century sheep on their own, they would have starved to death. They aren't animals. Who will make it work out? They won't figure it out. They'll die. But first century sheep did have one thing that was really important, and that is they did have good shepherds. And so I think the message that David is giving to us is that I have everything I truly need only because my good shepherd has all the resources in the world. Right? That's why I have everything I need. Not because I have it, but because he does. Right, so this is just my own learning. This is very simple. I'm sure you all get this, but I have wrestled for so long with this. I used to think that I would be secure when God gives me a sufficient bank account. I talk to somebody about retirement, and they say, well, how big is your bank account? Right? And they say, if it's not this much, I'm not so sure how you're going to do. But if it's this much, well, then you're in good shape. Right? And they told me that as a young person, put away more money because your security when you're old is going to be a sufficient bank account. And I thought that's when I would feel secure, is when I have a sufficient bank account. I thought I would feel secure when God gives me job security. The work I did at Michigan State, I only ever had an annual contract. And that contract was very often not renewed until the month that the old one expired. And I thought, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel good. And I used to think that I'll feel secure when I have job security. I used to think that I will be secure when God gives me health and strength. And so when we had the diagnosis of cancer in our family, we think, oh no, right? We used to think we were strong and this will be okay. And then to say, wait a minute, where's my security if God hasn't given health and strength? Right? Where's my security when God hasn't given me wisdom to make the right decisions? I used to think I was secure when he would do that. I used to think I'm secure when God gives me great relationships and a safe community. That's when I'm secure. That's what I used to think. And so you say, God, you haven't provided enough of these things yet. And so I feel insecure. And so now, through this psalm, I learn. Now I know I'm secure when we have a good shepherd who has all that he needs to take care of us. Right? That's where my confidence is, not in us. And turns out that God understands manufacturing in a way that the world took a long time to figure out, because God does just-in-time delivery. Right? He provides what we need so often just in time for what we need. Right? And so the prayer to say, give us our daily bread, is exactly this. Give us what we need when we need it. The original just-in-time inventory. God says, I will meet your needs when you need it. Like the sheep, every day the shepherd had to lead them to the grass. They didn't wake up and look out and see that grass. Wow, it's so tall, somebody better eat it. They looked out and there was nothing until the shepherd led them each day. And thankfully, God's supply chain doesn't have any bottlenecks in it, right? It doesn't have the problems that we've had. He does manage this well, because I have everything I truly need only because my good shepherd has all the resources in the world. And so another way to think about it is that God's sheep don't become superheroes, right? We don't become people who in ourselves have what we need, right? What we are is we are sheep who have a superhero. We have sheep who have a shepherd who is always caring for them and always protecting them, even through the times of great need. And yet we look at this drawing. Sometimes this is what we feel like, right? We're this little lamb and the ferocious troubles. Sometimes our troubles are very troubling. And that's real. And so we say, well, God is providing, and yet the troubles we experience are very troubling. And so verse 4, David says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. And an expression that's helped me to appreciate this is this idea of a death dark valley. A valley where the darkness feels like death. And the reality is that we often walk in death-dark valleys. We often experience this at different times, and some people it seems like this is over and over again. This is their experience. Some of us, it seems to hit us periodically. Some seem to go a long season without encountering death-dark valleys. And yet, they are real. And David says, sometimes I walk through death-dark valleys. And our troubles, these death-dark valleys, a proverb that helps me, Proverbs 14:10 says, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. What's really helpful to me in this is that sometimes I'll hear people say, and I'll say, well, I actually have nothing to complain about because other people have it much worse. Right? And so thinking that my troubles or your troubles shouldn't be troubling because others have it worse denies the reality that the trouble we have is the trouble we feel. And we feel death-dark valleys even in times when some of our needs are met wonderfully, and yet we carry the weight of this. And we talk a lot in the church about trying to think of the whole of who we are as head and heart and hands. And so the death-dark valleys for some people really do come through our physical being, right? Bodies that decay, bodies that get injured or abused or bring pain or have disabilities. And some of us are walking through the death-dark valley of bodies that are wearing out. And we wonder, will they be there for me to continue? With Karen's folks and with my mom, we watched people who, in strength of faith, had bodies that just gave out. Bodies that get injured. Today in the Lansing State Journal, the front page is all about caring for kids in abusive situations. These are death, dark valleys. And the real fear, the real concern when they cry out for help, and the answer is, I think you might just be making it up. And they're not believed, and yet they're crying out for help. And realizing those who are caring for them sometimes are crying out for help, saying, this is a death dark valley. Sometimes we feel it heavier in our physical beings. Sometimes we feel it heavy in our head and our heart, our internal world. And so some of us are walking through death dark valleys in our doubts, in our despair, in loneliness, in wrestling with our own identity and who we are, in relational conflicts. Some of us are walking through dark valleys, death dark valleys. And David says, even when I walk through the darkest valleys, the death dark valleys, he says, I will not fear evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Something I encountered this week in reading more about this, I love this expression of your rod and your staff, because one of the meanings of the rod is a club. It's a scepter, but it's a weapon, right? It's not just this short little stick. This is a weapon. And the staff is being a tool of guiding, and so we get a change to this drawing. That God has a club. And all that threatens us cannot stand before him. It cowers before the power and the authority of our God, and he guides the sheep. See, David says, I will fear no evil because my shepherd has a club. My shepherd has a staff. He has the power that I do not have. So the reality is that deep and enduring peace and blessing, even in the midst of death, dark trouble, come through trust in the unfailing love of a limitless, good, and loving God. Because our protector has a big club. Right? All the evil that threatens us, he is greater still. And so the deep, enduring peace and blessing isn't because troubles have gone away. It's because our protector is greater still. And he has this great club. And so the statement from Romans 8, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our hope, our peace, our confidence is not that these problems are currently all gone. Right? Death is still there, and demons are still there. There are fears in the future. There's trouble in the past. There are powers. There are deep depths. And yet none of these can stand up to the power of our protector. Trust and rest is our hope. It's the one thing that we need, that we need to do is to trust and to rest, not in ourselves, not in an optimistic approach to the world, but it is trust and rest in our limitless, good, loving, good shepherd. So let me tell you a little bit about story and travel. When I was a kid, we had the chance to travel a fair amount, and my dad and my mom would take us various places. I remember traveling internationally, and the whole thing was just interesting and fun to me. I didn't have to plan. I didn't have to think about things. They always made sure we had tickets and we had a place to stay and there was food. Then when I grew up and had the chance to travel on my own, I discovered somebody's got to take care of these things. Oh, you mean you have to plan ahead to be there on time, and if the flight gets changed, you have to figure it out. And then I discovered, when I was a dad, now, it's not just me that's going to struggle through this. I've got little kids who are not going to be happy And I'll tell you, the times driving around looking for a hotel in Germany, and I didn't know what hotels looked like in Germany, right? And we drove, and I discovered the burden is all on me. What David says is, I have confidence because I have a good shepherd. I have someone who is at work. I have a limitless, good, loving, good shepherd who will provide. He will do it. And so I have confidence in him. That's where my rest is, in my limitless, good, loving, good shepherd. I think I've told you this story before, but when I was in high school, we got sued, me and another friend. And it was over $1 million, which that would still be problematic. When I was a high school student many years ago, that was really a problem. And what could we do, right? There was a power that I couldn't understand. I didn't know how to do this. What could we do? And then this wonderful gift. We had a friend who my dad had done a lot of work in supporting him, and so they had some connections. Well, his brother was a lawyer. And he said, we'll take care of you. We in our firm will take care of you. And what a weight that was taken away from me, right? Then he says, we'll cover this. We'll take care of it. We won't charge you. We'll make sure. At least I don't think they charged us too much. I can't remember the details. It wasn't $1 million. I know that. And he took care of us. And all of a sudden, the burden was off me, saying, I have to, you know, I and my partner, we have to figure this out. And God did provide through this lawyer, through this law firm. What hope I had, not that I could figure it out, but there was somebody on my side who could. Somebody on my side who would do it. Because we have a limitless, good, loving, good shepherd who will provide. Our trust is not in ourselves. Our trust is not in optimism that somehow things work out or things are all there for a purpose. Our hope is that we have a limitless, good, loving, good shepherd. Many of us are reading in the Bible in various plans and journeys through it right now. I am reading through a plan that's included looking at the life of Job. And I discover Job being this man who was suffering beyond comprehension. And very clearly not because it was his fault. There was an evil power at work that was beyond his comprehension. And yet, he found security in God. There was a security not in the absence of evil, but in having a God who is greater still. And he wrestled with this question. And he kept saying, I know my God is greater than this. I know my God is greater than all the evil that's going after me. I need to talk to him. I need to hear from him. The security, especially at the beginning and at the end, that Job expressed was that he has a God who is greater than all the trouble and all the evil. And so with Job, we say, we will fear no evil. Not because there is no evil, right? Not because people are generally good and so it'll all work out. Not because things just have a way of working out. We will fear no evil, not because there is no evil, but because we have a good shepherd who has a mighty club. And this is true personally, right? So some of us, we wrestle with things that just weigh us down heavily in our soul, in our body. We wrestle with this. And real trust and real rest comes just by saying, we have a limitless, good, loving, good shepherd. That's my hope. It's not that it's going to work out well because I can find a way. I have this good shepherd. And this is true in relationships. And I know for many of us, relationships are such a source of challenge and pain. Family relationships, outside the family, wherever it is, there is so much that we struggle with. And we say, what's the solution? What's the hope? And there really is only one. There's all sorts of good things to do. There's good wisdom in how to interact with people. But it'll never be enough. Our hope is that we have a limitless, good, and loving good shepherd. And when we look at our world, when we look at conflicts in the world, that we look at the trajectory of how do how are things working out between countries, within countries, dealing with the pandemic, dealing with the environment. And it's easy to look at the world and say, what is the future? And our hope is not in finding a good project that will take over and this will solve things. Our hope is in our limitless, good, loving, good shepherd. Because deep and enduring peace and blessing come through trust in this love, this covenant love of a limitless, good, and loving God. So we've looked at this idea, the word Emmanuel means God with us. And that is true, God is with us as his people. And yet I love how it is expressed in this psalm, that in God's love, this also means you are with me. And I love both changes, right? The one statement is an objective statement that says God is with us. And then David, when he expresses it, he says, God, you. The first verses are in third person about God. The Lord is my shepherd. But when he gets to his real trouble, he says, you are with me. And this is our hope. Our hope is that we have a limitless, powerful, loving, good shepherd who says, I am with you. I will be with you. I will protect you.